Turn to James 1, 2 through. We're going to just read two or three verses there when we get started. And what we're going to talk about tonight, this like everything else, when I'm going through studying for something to do with the kids downstairs, whether it be Master Club or Children's Church, I just, when I run across something, I start writing it down. That's the reason I got the iPad. I've been lazy. I can talk text kind of on this thing and not have to write it. And it's, I got it saved and everything. And I go back to it. And the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone on this one. It's something that pertains to things that I've dealt with through my life. And what I found to help me when I get in this situation. And what we're going to talk about is the dangers of self-pity. And it's actually, the Bible reveals some dangers of being self-pity or feeling sorry for yourself. And I've been there before, and I imagine everybody in this room at one time has felt sorry for themselves or self-pity or jealous or whatever, but that causes the self-pity. But in my life, as a young guy, I look back on it, and I felt sorry for myself at times. And I run across some of these things that really helped me. And hopefully it'll help you if you're dealing with that or you're dealing with somebody that's really, really dealing with self-pity or somebody that maybe you can help them. Hopefully, and that's what I'm praying for. I thought, man, I just, Lord, you sure you want me to do that tonight? And I just couldn't leave it alone. Maybe I needed it in my life, or somebody here needed it at the time. But self-pity can be dangerous, and it can steal our faith, and it is a sin. It is a sin according to the Bible, and we'll look at that tonight. And it stems from our pride, we'll cause it, grumbling and complaining and murmuring and doubting God's goodness and what He can do for us and how He can take us out of the troubles can make us feel self-pity. But there is cures, and we'll go over that tonight too. The cure in general is not giving anything away. The cure is being having gratitude, trusting God's plan for your life, and remembering His power turns trials into victories. And in Philippians 2:14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And the Lord may be leading you. You may be doing a great job at whatever you might be doing in a ministry or in life in general, whether it's work or anything. I had folks at work that everything that they done, it was a grumble and complain, and they're hard to work with and work side by side sometimes. Maybe great workers, but they grumble and complain the whole time that they're doing it and feeling sorry for themselves and self-pity. And sometimes that's tough. In James 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4 says, "But let patience, having her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Also in Romans 8:37, it says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And this is not a very long thing, and you guys, probably every one of you, if you've dealt with the depression or dealt with the self-pity or feeling sorry for yourself, you've probably run across these as Christians for help for yourself. I know I have. I have, especially in my younger life, felt sorry and self-pity and jealous of somebody or something like that. That all goes hand in hand, and it all comes back around, and we'll look at it to our pride and sometimes covetousness will play a part in us feeling sorry for ourselves. And you know, why don't I have that, or why don't I have that talent like he does to be able to do a ministry or whatever? But and I feel like I'm not the only one that's felt self-pity in my life, because everybody here, one of the reasons that I couldn't get away from this tonight is, as I look around, our congregation's getting older, and me in particular, and we got a lot of aches and pains, and we hurt, and we can't do what we used to do. We can't speak as clear. We can't move as quick as I used to. And I have to catch myself. Me and Miss Karen, when I'd done that second knee, and she, we thought we had it all timed out, you know, with the insurance and everything, to try to time it out, and she'd be getting better. And I could take care of her, and she could take care of me after I had my knee replacement. And it didn't work out that way hardly. She had some complications. And we just kind of sitting there looking at each other and said, how did this happen? You know, how do we get to this position? And it would have been very easy for us to be feel sorry for ourselves. And we didn't. And we still, we might not have been physically able to help each other like we wanted to, but we were spiritually there close to each other and spending time, good quality time with each other in pain. We both talked about the self-pity and how you could get down on yourselves and not keep on going for the Lord and keep on going for your family or enjoying your grandkids and looking around and see what God's really blessed us with. And it was a tough time, and we're going to talk about how God can bring us through some tough. It's kind of a tough time, but I got to thinking about this message and this, self-pity, and I kept saying, Lord, yeah, I don't want to do that one. I really don't. That was for me. And I just kept thinking about the older folks here and what some of you guys have been through, and it's been pretty trying. Brother Randy, just last week, he dealt with a kidney stone, and I've never had one, but I've watched Karen have one, and it's miserable. And it just seems like one family after another is having something to deal with. And but we got to be careful. The Lord's going to take care of things. We can't have that self-pity dragging us down and killing our spirit, killing our faith. And some things I saw, the dangers of self-pity and why it is a sin according to the Bible. Number one, it ignores God's sovereignty. Self-pity acts like as the if God is not a gracious Father, refusing to accept trials and testings of our faith. God puts us in these trials sometimes, and sometimes how we deal with it. God's checking us out. See how we can how our faith is, and how we can trust Him, and how we can move on, and being able to have faith when things are at its worst is a trial of our faith that God can see what we're made out of and what we're spiritually made out of, but that's one thing that's a danger. It is rooted in pride, and God hates pride in our lives, it is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, expecting a comfortable life, not promised in the scriptures. God didn't promise us a perfect life. And when He saved us, we're still in this flesh, and He didn't save that flesh. We're still in this old wicked world, and it's waxing worse and worse. But He did save us to have faith in Him and trust in Him. If we're saved, we ought to totally trust the Lord, and we should already put our full faith and trust in Him to ask the Lord to come into our hearts and be saved. In Psalms 10:4, it says, the wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not all in his thoughts. As Christians, it don't matter what's going on in our lives, whether it's the physical, spiritual, or financial, whatever problem we may be going through, whatever trial we might be going through, God expects us to continue and to have Him in mind no matter what we go through, and to realize God's putting us through those trials for a reason. And to make us better Christians, have more faith in Him and trust Him more. But when we let pride come in and think, hey, we're better than that. God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting this happen? And I think we've all probably done that at one time or another in our Christian walk. But if we could have faith that's unmovable and steadfast, and the folks around you know that you're going through these hard trials, and you still have a good attitude and a smile on your face, and praising the Lord and trusting the Lord and having faith that He's going to bring you through that trial, and other folks are seeing, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I've watched folks, I get a blessing every time I see Brother George, Miss Nola come in here. I get a blessing from it, because he's been through the fire, physically, and I'm sure spiritually, and he still keeps trudging on, and you speak to him, and he's got a smile, and he's glad to be here, and he's glad God let him come one more time, and I just want the Lord to, I just want to be that for the Lord and be that witness. You don't have to say anything. A lot of times it's just a smile on your face. It is to uplift and edify each other. It's just a kind word in the worst time of your life. I'd like to be the type of person that if there's something going on in my life, you guys wouldn't even know it. I'm not there yet. I'd love to do that. I do my grumbling and complaining like everybody else. As a Christian, we shouldn't be that way. And it is our pride. The third thing I've seen that self-pity, the danger of self-pity is, I call it a deadener. Self-pity is a spiritual deadener. And what I mean by that, some of these guys, I know Brother Greg and maybe Levi and these guys shoot their rifles and they got a silencer or whatever on the end of it that deadens the sound. I mean, you wouldn't believe how it does. My son-in-law's got one on his AR. Them things are loud, and he's got that on the end of his rifle, and it sounded like a .22 compared to mine. You know, shooting side by side, but the self pity can deaden our spiritual walk with the Lord. It can cause us to not be spiritual at all, and give in to our flesh, and give in to our self pity and pride, and murmur and complain. It can really cause it can cause folks not to even want to be around us. And I don't want that in my life, and I'm sure you guys don't either. But that's another thing that self-pity can do. And self-pity is linked to complaining. A lot of people can tell if you're being, having self-pity is you'll be complaining about stuff. You'll be complaining about aches and pains and your financial situation and stuff like that, it's linked right with complaining. In Philippians 2:14, it tells us to do all things without murmuring and disputings, which is completely the opposite of a self-pitying attitude. The Lord just don't want us to be that way, and He commands us to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And when we get that self-pitying, feeling sorry for ourselves attitude, we're going to be complaining and murmuring and not satisfied with anything. And it'll drag you down to the point where you can be depressed about everything in life. and it caused folks maybe not to want to be around you, and it caused God not to bless you, I believe, because you're not passing the test he's putting you through. And I'm talking about myself here. I've done that before. And it would cause us to covet what others possess, relationships or talents or their position or even their status in life. We feel sorry. Why didn't the Lord bless me with that truck? Or, well, how come somebody didn't bless me to be able to sing like Brother Levi does and play the piano like Miss Janet does or something like that? But God's put us in certain positions, and I'd love to be able to sing, and I like to sing all by myself. You guys just don't want to hear me sing. But I always wonder why God just dished out certain talents to each different folks and different folks in the church. And hopefully I wouldn't feel, you know, self-pity of the fact that I don't have those things. But I do wonder sometimes, you know, why God picked certain people to do this and do that. But it's a blessing. And when we can be satisfied with where God plants us and at a certain time, and that changes positions and our duties here at church changes as we get older. Levi and them are at a young age, young good Christian folks, and Gideon and Chloe, they're taking on more. They got the energy and the spunk, and they're taking on more, and they got the talent that God's given them, and they're using it. And when you use your talent for the Lord, He'll give you more. And he'll trust you with more talent. And that may be the reason I don't have much talent, you know. But God can use you if you're not self-pity. If you don't have a self-pity and feel sorry for yourself because maybe you don't have talents or certain things. But let's not covet. God said all the way back in 10, thou shalt not covet. You shouldn't want what other people's got. You ought to be so glad that God give you something to do for the Lord. And everybody's got a job. Everybody's got certain things that they're good at and that they can do for the Lord. And like I said, I really believe if you use them for the Lord with a good heart and a right mind and with all your heart, that God will even give you more talents or give you an ability to do things that you didn't think you could do. And that's some of the things that self-pity can do and cause in our lives and actually sin in our lives. And it could really cause folks not to want to be around you. Can cause folks to maybe not trust your faith in the Lord and maybe come to you when they may need some help. But we can reverse that, and we'll look at that a little bit later in this message, that God, if we can turn that around and fight that self-pity off and have a joyous heart and a merry spirit, folks may come to you and ask you how you're able to do that and how can you keep going for the Lord. Here's some biblical examples of that. One of them is in Luke 10:38. It's Martha through 42. It's Martha, and it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word, but." Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came unto him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Did her therefore that she help me?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And Lord told Martha real quick, hey, You need to. Mary's doing what she needs to be doing. And you know what? I got thinking about that day going over this lesson. Martha was probably, she was the host, sounds like, and she was doing what she's supposed to do. But while she was doing what God gave, the job that God gave her to do, she was murmuring and complaining even to our Lord and Savior. And that'll take you joy, that'll take your reward in heaven one of these days. If we don't have a good heart about what we're doing for the Lord and how we're serving for the Lord. You know, Brother Brent used to say, hey, we may, you may be just cleaning commodes here in the church, and God's got you doing that. And that is what we need to be doing. And if you'll do that with a merry and good heart, God will give you something else to do on down the line. And I'm sure, Brother Nathan's been teaching these boys down Sunday school. Hey, the more God gives you, the more is required of you. So, if we can be happy in where the Lord's planted us and rooted us in here, and like I said, it can change. I know me and Miss Karen, our ministries have kind of changed, and we're kind of focusing a little bit. Not really by choice, towards our grandchildren. Brother Rick told me before he left, he said, hey, me and Miss Brenda really believe that's our mission field right now, is our grandkids. And their kids needed some help with them. And now they got an opportunity to be witnesses to them and be hands on. And that's what me and Karen want in our lives with our grandchildren, try to raise some godly kids that'll be servants and ambassadors for Christ, and we want that. And if we can have a part in it, we want to. And we got two of them's already been saved, and we got three more to go. And I told Pastor, just help me pray, Lord, that we might say something or do something to point our grandkids in the right direction. And to the Lord, and that they'll be saved at an early age. This world's wicked and stuff. It is very easy to be, feel sorry for yourself sometimes. I've just to be honest with you, through this election, this last election and stuff, and the state of Virginia is in right now and going to be in, seems like, you know, I kind of feel sorry, even thought, I'm just going to move to West Virginia, and that would probably be a big mistake, or Tennessee. But that'd take us away from this church, take us away from what God's got us planning here to do. And instead of murmuring and complaining, we just need to do what the pastor says, just keep praying for them and let God turn their hearts, and he can do it. And he will do it, and we all know he can do it. But we got to have faith and the ability. We need to be fasting and praying. We need to just there's just some things that the Lord may not hear and may not turn their hearts unless we really get serious enough to where even get down to fasting and praying that the God will help the leaders of this state and our country, and that he'll save some souls. So Martha, she was belly aching around, and God put her in her place, said, hey, Mary's doing what she needs to be doing. And sometimes when we're doing stuff here at the church and you maybe feel overloaded and taxed, and start feeling sorry for yourself, just say, hey, you know, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Thank you for the strength you give me daily. And if I need more, Lord, I'm counting on you to give it to me. And things seem to work out. Even when Brother Richard used to say, and I don't know if it's original, Brother Richard used to say, hey, if you need something done around the church, go ask the busiest person, because they come nigh doing it, because they got that right heart and the right focused on serving the Lord. And as we go through this lesson, we'll see that if we focus on serving others, that self-pity will just Can't do the same. You can't serve others and feel sorry for yourself at the same time. And and another example in the Bible, and I'll move on, is the children of Israel in the wilderness. They constantly complained and murmured, and their circumstances was always rough because of their attitude, and always wanting to go back to the old things, back in Egypt. And sometimes as Christians, we want to go back and get into the world or something, or think like the world, and feel sorry for ourselves and have covetousness in our hearts and things like that, just like the children of Israel did. And the Lord just won't bless us that way. But if they would have just turned and say, hey, they had clothes that wouldn't wear out, they had food every day and every night, and they had water, and they had guidance, visible guidance from the Lord the whole time, and it was right in front of their face, and they didn't. They still murmured and complained. But you know, we got that in the Word of God. We got the guidance. We got the promises of God. We got salvation. We got the promise one of these days we're going to be with our Lord and Savior. And we still find ways to murmur and complain and go back and just nestle up to the world, thinking that will be the thing that'll help us feel better about ourselves. And it won't. And the more we murmur and complain, the more self-pity, and the more we will feel sorry for ourselves. In 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're called to endure and not complain. Sometimes it's hard to endure. Sometimes we have losses, we have pain, we lose the ability to do things, abilities. There's folks in here losing I was just told I got cataracts started on my eyes, and we lose our sight, we can lose our sight, we can lose wealth, but we need to trust the Lord in everything and endure hardships for the Lord. I've got some, this is just some basic remedies I come up with for self-pity. Number one is, and we talked about it a little bit, I give that away a little bit, practice gratitude. Be thankful. If you have, it's hard to complain and murmur when you got a thankful heart. When you're thankful about everything. When you're thankful about the pain. You know, a lot of times my doctor in Kingsport talking about my knees, hey, the pain, you're going to have some pain. But one thing about it is you know I got in there and fixed that because the pain's in your knee right there. If it's not going up your leg or something, and you got pain right in your knee, that means I done a good job. You know, and sometimes... But we have to endure pain and suffering, and if we're thankful about it and have a good heart about it, God sees that, and He will bless you for that. He'll bring you through that trial, and like I said earlier, people's always watching you, and whether you realize it or not, they're watching how you deal with things and stuff like that. And if you're always thankful and joyous about where God's got you right now, people see that, and it's an encouragement to their hearts. It is to me to see folks that I know are suffering, but they're still thanking the Lord and grateful where God's got them at this point. Another thing I see that will help us as a remedy for self-pity is focus on others, and we talked about that a little bit too. If we shift our focus away from ourselves to serving others, which is the opposite of self-indulgence or self-pity. I mean, it's completely the opposite of that. It's like being thankful. if you're always serving somebody and taking care of somebody, you won't feel your own pain. You won't feel your own self-pity. You just can't do both things at the same time. And I know years ago I got really depressed about some things, or I thought that it was bad, and it really wasn't, just exactly what we're talking about tonight. And I didn't realize, it took me a long time to realize it was me feeling sorry for myself and not realizing that, hey, that's what's causing me the depression, sad all the time, was me and my self-pity. And when you move away from that and go to, I just dove in and tried to serve here at the church as hard as I can. I was younger. I was able to do a whole lot, and it didn't matter what it was. Sweeping the parking lot, whatever was needed, I tried to run and do it. And if somebody was needing something, I tried to go help them. And man, the depression and self-pity is just gone. And it goes away, or it did for me. Another thing we can do, and we forget to, and it don't matter if it's self-pity or being sick or a financial situation, we need to call on God. I mean, hey, we got an intercessory in our Lord Jesus Christ that's making intercessions for us daily, all the time. He's standing on the right-hand side of the Father. I was telling the kids downstairs last week, hey, we were talking about the ascension of Christ. And I said, one of the big things that's so good about the Lord being on the right-hand side of the Father right now, he's over there saying, hey, Lord, that's our child right there. He can help us if we can. If we can just remember to call on him. Instead of indulging and whining, just turn to God in our prayers. In Psalms 50:15, it says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. And when the Lord delivers you, you'll be praising him. When you know that the Lord delivered you out of something, the Lord will just fill your heart with joy, and you're going to glorify the Lord if you're saved. You're going to give him all the honor and glory that he deserves. And we need to do that. We just need to call on the Lord. When we're feeling sorry for ourselves and the self-pity sets in, just call and say, Lord, you got to help me with this, Lord. Help me focus on the joyous things, the things that you've given us, the things that you blessed our families with, and the family that we got, and most of all, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just got to remember that. And another thing that I see that will help divert us from being feeling sorry for ourselves is trust God's purpose. In Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loved us, and he just told us, hey, it don't matter what you're going through, you can conquer this. You can get through it. And there's some bad situations that's come through this church family. And the Lord has delivered folks, and we all got to watch that, and he can still do it. Don't matter what you're going through, God can deliver you out of whatever situation that you're in that you think's bad. And you know, if we can just concentrate and say, hey, the Lord may be taking me through that to prepare me for something bigger and better. Or I think about my grandkids. Hey, if they can see me be joyous while I'm down with two knee replacements, they'll see, hey, Pops might have something that I don't have, and they might want it. And folks are watching you, like we said before. And if they can see some joy and some peace and some long-suffering and mercy towards others and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, they may really want what you want. And what a witness that would be. And I think about that. And here's some more verses that I run across just last night that can help with that. Just three more and I'm done. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And that's like being thankful. And if you got a joyous heart and you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's hard to feel sorry for yourself. It's hard to have self-pity. In James 1:2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you come in divers temptations and rough times in your life, it's hard to be joyful sometimes. But if you can manage with the Lord's help, and he says he will help you. If you have that joy, you can overcome them divers temptations. You can keep on going. And the last one I have, and I'll be done tonight, it says 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcome the world, and is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I wrote down here, the antidote for self-pity is trusting that the Lord is in control of your situation, focusing on faith, and deliberately choosing gratitude over complaining, and try to have a joyful heart. If you guys don't get anything out of that little message and me stumbling and stammering around, let's just have fun serving the Lord while the world is fighting and complaining and going all helter skelter. Let's try to focus on the Lord and have a joyful heart and take care of each other and just have faith that God's going to see us through. But thank y'all for listening.